And if he wanted to, he could have went to 10. Let's open up our Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. Father, we thank you for the time that we have remaining. We thank you for this great evening and for the saints that you've sent out. Hallelujah. I pray that you're hungry and thirsty for the true and the living God. I want to look at two passages of scripture before we get into this. I want you to read, and I want you to read it aloud. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, on the count of three when you get there. Deacon Patton might have it on the screen shortly, and shortly is here. Hi, shortly. Praise God. Are you ready? One, two, three. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. Now let's go to chapter 8, verse 1. Oh boy, shortly, it's just shortly. On the count of three. One, two, three, read. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Okay, the reason I looked at those two verses and had you read those two verses because everything that takes place from Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 to chapter 8, verse 1 is what's known as the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus took his disciples up and taught them the ways of God. And as he's teaching them, when he gets ready to come down, he goes right into action. You know, this is coming on the heels of his baptism, where John baptized him in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, straightway out of the water, the heavens opened up. The Spirit of God descended in the form of a dove and lighted upon him. And then God the Father spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." So God publicly announced Jesus' ministry. Publicly announced it, publicly claimed him, let everybody there know this was the Messiah, Jesus, the one that they had been waiting for. And so then Jesus goes in to this teaching, if you will, and he's got the multitudes that are following after him, and so he goes up on this hill and he begins to instruct them. Now, you know, up to this point, they've been living life the way they have normally lived it. Those who were with them were Jews, so they knew the Jewish laws, some of them. They knew the Jewish customs, and they lived their lives accordingly. Some of them were not, you know, as diligent as others. They had their various occupations in which they worked, and nevertheless, they were there listening to Jesus. And Jesus comes not with just the ordinary teachings that they've had, which was the law of Moses, if you will. You know, you had the law of Moses, you had the prophets, you had the Psalms that they used for their teaching, the historical books as well. Jesus came and he began to teach and take them to a higher level. He came down and told them, you know, you've heard it said here, but now I say. When Jesus started his teaching ministry, his preaching ministry, if you will, they were like, man, we have not heard anybody teach like this. This man teaches with authority. There was something different about him. Jesus also said, and he said it during this time, you don't put new wine in old wineskins. Now, it was not that Jesus didn't come to minister to everyone. He came. The scripture says he came that through him the world might be saved. But there were those that rejected him. There were those that, you know, didn't understand him. There were those that stayed away from him. But nevertheless, he came for all because he came to seek and save that which was lost, which really was all humanity. But he came to the Jew first because he was a Jew. That probably rubbed some people wrong, but nevertheless, it's the truth. Jesus was the Jew. He was of the tribe of Judah, one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And so when he came not to do his own thing, but he came to do the will of God. It's okay, just stay up here. You know, we hear those distractions and stuff, but it's okay. So, Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened, he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed, or as many of us say, blessed. Either way, it's the same word, has the same connotation or meaning. Blessed, Amplified says, happy, fortunate, and to be envied are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, what's the opposite of poor? Rich, okay? So Jesus uses this. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, you know, on an earthly term, you would think that the ones that have much are the ones that are truly blessed. But in the kingdom, it's just the exact opposite. So when Jesus comes teaching, he is just like with many of us today. We start looking at his word, we start listening to the word, and we still have no clue as to what Jesus is saying. And there were many that were around him during that day as he's teaching, because he goes on a 5, 6, 7, 3 chapter teaching, if you will. And some of them, they're like at awe of his teaching, but some of them are like lost in the fog because they still don't have a clue as to what he's talking about. But he comes teaching like this new way, if you will. He comes revealing something that is different from the others, even though he's using the same scriptures that they've been using, yet he comes with something that just seems like, man, this is out of this world. And it was up from out of this world, was straight and direct from heaven. He came to reveal the Father. So here he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, poor in spirit simply means those who are humble in spirit. Those who are meek, if you will, and not the arrogant. Because the arrogant person, you can't teach them anything because they already think that they know everything. They have something about them like, nobody's going to tell me what to do. And mind you, Jesus is teaching the Jews who have the law. The scripture teach salvation is of the Jews. Boy, I know that just makes some people mad. I was watching this thing the other day, and I was listening to this individual talk. And a great individual, if I mentioned his name, everybody in the room would know who he is. And he was pretty convincing in what he was sharing with this commentator or this person that was interviewing him. And he says, well, you know, I stay within my own race because I really love my race. I love the way, you know, and so I don't go outside it. I'm very proud of my race. And anybody who would say that, you know, well, it's okay to mix and mingle, he felt like they were wrong. Because I'm proud of my race, and, you know, God made us this way, and I'm this way, and I stay with my own, and you're that way, and you stay with your own, and all. And it sounded good until you remember the word of the living God, that although we are all different ethnicities, we all came from one man. We all came from Adam. Hallelujah. God does love variety, but we all came from one man, Adam. And we were scattered abroad. Why were we scattered abroad? Because God wanted us to fill the earth, subdue it, bring it under our dominion, if you will. But what happened is we would have never had any of these problems with racism and all of this other stuff going on, gangs and things like that. We would have never had any of those problems had Adam not sinned in the garden. But because Adam sinned in the garden, now you have violence, you have wickedness, you got hatred, you got bitterness, you got anger, you got resentment. I mean, you got people even of their own kind that don't want to see others advance within their own ranks, if you will, or within their own ethnicity. You want to keep them down with you, if you will. We have all kind of problems. We don't like people because of the color of their skin. We don't like people because of their hair or lack of hair, if you will. You know, whether their hair is straight or whether their hair is, you know, kinky or what have you. We don't like people because of their dialect and things like that, where they don't talk like me. We don't like people because they don't drive like us. You know, we have all of these dislikes and things like that. But, you know, we all came from Adam. And it was because of Adam's transgression that sin spread to all men. Well, what about Eve? Eve got tricked by the devil, but Adam could have saved Eve. He could have saved and preserved Eve had he continued to obey the word of the Lord. But because he chose to disobey God and join in with the sin, for Adam it was sin, for Eve it was deception. And this is why the enemy continues to try and come at women and try to attack them. But God has a plan. He says, no, the seed of the woman is going to crush your seed. So Satan is launching a vicious, subtle attack against women on every level, if you will. But God's got a plan for the women, too. They just got to come into agreement with him, and they'll see the best of God. But here we are. Adam, if he had not sinned, he could have just said, Lord, my wife has sinned. What shall I do? She ate of the forbidden fruit. What do you want me to do? Because I've got the seed. I've got the seed. She's got the womb to take the seed. What shall I do? And right then and there, God has said, you keep yourself pure. Your seed will be pure. And when you plant your seed in her, that seed will still be pure. And then from her womb will come the rest of life, but they won't be contaminated by sin, because sin did not get into Eve. Sin got into Adam. And then from Adam, we got this mess. But we all came from the loins of Adam. And this is why we can't get caught up into some of the things that people get caught up into. We don't like somebody because of, you know, the way they look, the way they act, or the way they dress. I believe in dressing decent. Amen? Hallelujah. And I believe that a man ought to dress like a man and a woman ought to dress like a woman. But that's just my personal preference, if you will. And I believe I have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of me. Amen? And I believe he leads me in that. Praise God. A man ought to look like a man, act like a man, walk like a man, talk like a man, conduct himself like a man. And a woman ought to look like a woman, act like a woman, conduct herself as a woman, do the things as a woman, if you will, and not try and be the man or try and even compete with the man. The man don't need to compete with the woman. The woman don't need to compete with the man. They just need to walk in unity and harmony and then produce the fruit that God desires out of each and every one of us. Amen? That's the plan and purpose of God. But we got messed up because of Adam's transgression. The Bible doesn't say because of one couple, sin entered the world and death through sin. Thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. The Bible says in Romans chapter, I don't know if it was last Wednesday or last Sunday before last, but I said Romans chapter 12, and I meant Revelation chapter 12, because I was talking about the warfare with Satan and the angels. But just to correct that, but in Romans chapter 5, the Bible plainly says, therefore, as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and death spread to all men because all have sinned. The Bible says in the book of Acts, Paul says it, that, you know, it's like from one man, God created all humanity and then scattered us all over the world. And the reason we were scattered all over the world is because now that we're in sin, we're not just going out to conquer the land, subdue it, and, you know, establish God's reign and rule in that territory. Now we've gone out and we got war in our hearts. We got hatred in our hearts. We got all sorts of things in our hearts. And we've taken sin all over the place. So God's plan that was to fill the earth, subdue it, bring it under your dominion, that was altered by sin. So now God scattered us all over the place that we would cry out and grope after him. And the crisis that we face as humanity, as people, whether we're in China, Africa, Canada, South America, Australia, whatever part of this world we are in, the problems that we face are to bring us to the place of crying out and groping after God. Like in the dark, trying to feel your way around. You understand what I'm saying? Everything that we go, all the crisis, all the problems that we face, even with, you know, whether it's teenagers battling suicide or whether it's older adults that, you know, they hate each other, husband and wife, or whether it's just, you know, a person that just, well, you know, I just, nobody loves me, nobody understands me, nobody, you know, and it's like, well, cry out, grope after God. Amen. You know, my wife has left me, my children hate me, the dog bit me, you know, cry out to God. That's what it's trying to bring you to. Every problem that you face is to bring you to the place of crying out and groping after God, because he's not far from you. He is right here with us. Paul says, though he is not far. But that's why men were scattered out to the various places. Not to, you know, like, this is my land. And Bubba, this is my land too. My daddy owns this land. Praise God. Okay, how do we get back to where we were? Jesus comes on the scene and he starts teaching. And so he's like, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, you know, you're talking about meekness. Some people take meekness for weakness. They take kindness and they take advantage of it. You know, you try and be a kind and nice person and you get a lot of people that will abuse you. And then you have others looking at you like something's wrong with you. And Jesus says, ain't nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with being kind and considerate and compassionate and helping out someone. Even when they take advantage of you, Jesus is like, still ain't nothing wrong with it. Society may look down upon it. Society may say, you know, you got to be tough. You got to be this. You got to be that. You know, as a man, you can't cry. As a man, you got to be strong. You got to, you know, you got to, you know, that kind of thing. And Jesus is like, you ain't got to be all that. No. You got to, you know, be a man. You got to show your manhood, you know. And it's, Jesus is like, you need to humble yourself. Eat some apple pie. Not apple pie, but, you know, humble pie. So anyways, in what we call the attitudes we should be, Jesus starts placing a premium on certain attributes, character, that we do good, because he's not teaching us how to just live in the world. He's teaching us how to live in the kingdom. Praise God. So he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Amplified says like this, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed, happy to be envied, and spiritually prosperous. With, listen to this, life joy, this is the Amplified, with life joy and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions. Are the poor in spirit, the humble, who rate themselves insignificant, for theirs is the kingdom of God. You know, we tell you, you know, you are somebody. You know, say it loud. You're this and you're proud. You know, we have one slogan, black and proud. And it was needed for a season and a time. But when we find out who our identity is in Christ Jesus, we no longer need the world's slogans or the world's interpretation of what's, you know, good and successful. We don't need to be defined by secular terms, if you will. You understand what I'm saying? No, we need to be defined by God's terms, by kingdom terminology, if you will. And the world will tell you, you know, people are going to take advantage of you. But God's just going to bless me. Praise God. Hallelujah. God's just going to bless. They're going to walk all over you. Well, God's just going to bless me. They're going to abuse you. Well, God's going to deal with them. We don't understand that kind of terminology. You know, we got to be tough. We got to be strong. We got to be bold. We got to be bad. We got to be this. We got to be that. We got to wear the latest fashion, latest fat, latest shoes, latest hairdo, latest, you know, haircut. You know, we got to, and Jesus is like, no, you got to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. And I'm teaching you how to live in the kingdom and not in the world. In the world, it may look like you're weak. You're not weak. You're meek. And to be meek is to have power under control. You're not a, you know, a loose cannon, if you will, blowing up all over the place, you know, exploding on people because they're not doing what you think they ought to do. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed, happy to be envied, praise God, and spiritually prosperous. So what is Jesus trying to do? He's promoting the lifestyle of the kingdom. the sons and daughters. This is how we are. Verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Amplified says it like this, blessed and enviably happy with the happiness produced by the experience of God's favor and especially conditioned by the revelation of his matchless grace are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. You know, when you think about mourning, what do you think about? Death? Everybody agree with that? Death? Okay. And what's the certain, you know, what's the posture, I mean, of a, you know, of mourning, if you will? What do I mean by that? You know, what does that depict? I mean, what is the countenance? How do you feel? Sad? Sorrowful? Pitied? Huh? Somebody? Loss? Heartbroken? Hopeless? Anything else? Downcast? Okay, everybody agree with that? Anybody want to add to it, take away from it? Okay, but look what Jesus says. They shall be comforted. And this is a place where I really have to watch myself because I can have a tendency to give an impression that I'm being inconsiderate and just being, you know, like unmoved, stoic, or what's the word for insensitive, callous. Woo. Thank you, Sister Teresa. Praise God. I've noticed you. I think you're callous. No. But it can give that appearance. But the thing of it is that we go through that phase at the loss of a loved one. Believe me, I cry. Pastor Lucia, I don't know why she thought this, but she thought it was something big because I was crying, and I forget where we were, but somebody was sharing something about they were giving testimonies about the impact of the ministry when we had our luncheon. And, you know, I was in tears. I do cry. And so the thing of it is that Jesus says we'll be comforted. And sometimes we as people, we will get so caught up into mourning that we will ignore God's comforting. And God tries to comfort us and bring peace to us. Why? Because we have to live on. I don't know why God did some things, and I know it had to have been him, but just some things that I learned and experienced going along. When our father died back on July 3rd, 1980, when he died, I was only 21 years old, and the last time I saw him was on Father's Day. And so on the day of his funeral, I'm sitting there, and I'm sitting, you know, of course, with our family, and Reverend M.T. Thompson was doing the eulogy, and I'm looking at my dad's casket, and he's got that green suit on that I like to see him in, and he was just a cool, good dresser. But I like to see him in that green suit, so when we went to the mortuary to pick out the casket, I picked out a green casket. I want the green casket because I want that green suit on him because he'll look sharp. Had a little argument about that because my stepmother wanted a blue casket because her father had a blue casket, and I'm like, I want that green casket. I want my daddy in that green suit. So anyways, as I'm sitting there, I hear his voice. Now, mind you, we're not supposed to communicate with the dead, so I'm not advocating that. And people that pray to the dead and talk to the dead, that's off limits for the children of God. Why? Because God does not want us communicating with dead spirits because it opens us up to the realm of the spirit world where demons, if you will, and familiar spirits, if you will start to come in and start to affect your life. And this is why many probably can't get over grief. Because they've allowed the familiar spirits to come in and they can't really release that loved one. That loved one is gone whether we hold on to it or not. They're gone. They're either in the presence of God. To be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. Why am I here? I'm not hitting, throwing any darts at anybody or anything like that. I'm just sharing. Jesus said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted, if you will. And so, you know, when your loved one dies, It ain't like they're sitting around watching over you, and it's not that they are. Listen, God created all the angels at one time. He don't need us to die in order to populate the angels' population. It may seem cold, hard, and callous, but it's the truth. And I hate to see people get so caught up emotionally, even in their mourning, that they start to open up themselves to something that is not real and true, because what you'll do is you'll open yourself up to demonic activity. When you worship an idol, people that pray to statues, like, you know, the statue Mary or the statue Jude or the statue, you know, whatever, when they pray, what they're praying to is an idol. Now, that sounds cold, hard, and callous, but it's the truth. And I don't say that in order to just make people feel bad, but I would rather tell you the truth, risking offending you, than to allow you to open yourself up to demons. Because Paul says an idol is nothing but a demon. And this is what you end up doing. You end up worshiping familiar spirits. You end up trying to contact the dead. You do like King Saul. When he couldn't get through to God and Samuel had went on with the Lord, he went and found the witch of Endor and had her summon up Samuel from the grave. That was a familiar spirit. And God tells us that's off limit. So he will comfort us. Oh, bless God. That's better than what your response is. See, you don't want to give that thing up. And it's not like it's being disrespectful, but, you know, I had to walk through at the age of 21. My mother said, I want to live to see all of my children grown when I turn 21, because she says, you won't be no man until you turn 21. I don't care if you're 18 years old. You're still not, and I was 18 years old. No, probably not. Yeah, I was 18 years old. First year in college, second year, got a full-time job. She still treated me like, you know, you ain't grown. But when I got 21, because that was her wish, Lord, let me live long enough to see all of my kids turn 21. When I got 21 and I was the youngest one, she died and went on to be with the Lord. And so to be able to walk through that with two of the key people in your life, the ones that brought you into this world, it was from my father's seed and my mother's womb that I came into the world. So 7 months apart, they died. And it teaches me things even now. Because, you know, people say, well, you know, she'd be really proud. You know, she's watching over you. No, she's not. She's in the presence of Jesus. And if you think Pastor Killing's going to be watching over you when he goes on to be with the Lord, you better think again. I ain't going to even be praying for you. You ain't coming. I ain't your mediator. I may be there right now to help you connect with God. But when I'm gone, don't, Father. Pastor Killings, would you please pray to the Lord Jesus Christ that he will deliver me out of this situation? If somebody comes and talk to you, it ain't me. I'm letting you know now. Pray. I ain't planning on going anywhere. It's anytime soon. But I want you to know, if you hear a voice, it's not me. I'm in the presence of Jesus. I'm caught up into him. The one who gave his life as a ransom for me, I'm looking at him, bless God. Absent in the body, present with the Lord. Hallelujah. I ain't becoming no angel. The angel population is already there. Imagine if God has to wait on people to die so that he can get more angels to help out. You see how ridiculous that is? But people are sincerely caught up into that, and preaching like this can offend them. But if they will listen, it'll make perfect wisdom, godly sense. Because God wants your relationship with him. So he's the one who wants to comfort you when you mourn. When your loved one goes on, listen, the reason you grieve is because of your value for life. And what did Jesus do? He said, I came that you what? Have it more abundantly. So you grieve because of a loss of life. If you could live eternally without ever dying, you would be happy, some of us. But because we die, especially untimely deaths, I mean, death is really something you can't really prepare for. You know, you can, your loved one is, you know, they've been given that death sentence. They're only going to live 3 months, 2 months, or what have you. And, you know, and you prepare yourself and you prepare yourself and you prepare yourself. But when they die, it's like, oh. And I've been through it enough with family to have a little experience in what I'm saying. But I don't say it to be offensive at all. I say it to be sincere so that when a loved one goes on, you can go on. Now, when I was going back to what I was sharing, you know, I was sitting there, and I think I had my aunt on one side and my stepmother on the other. And all I could hear was my father's voice saying, "You got to go on." And I'm like, "You got to go on. Don't focus on this body. You got to go on and live. Because you could die with that loved one, or you could go on and live." Now, if you go on living with a grieved spirit, if you will, you're going to miss out on life and what God has for you. Now, you rejoice because nobody can take away those years that you spent with your loved one, no matter how long or how short it is. Nobody can take that away from you. You have those memories. You know, see, there's memories that we wish we could get rid of. Every time it comes up, you know, you wish you could get it as far as the east from the west, but somehow it still comes back, whether it's a demon spirit reminding you or what have you. But as an individual, you know, you have those memories. I have memories. I don't try and relive in the sense of talking like, "Hey, Mom, what would you think of this?" Or going to the grave and communicating with her, "What do you think about this?" Kind of people actually do that. That's communicating with the dead. That's operating out of ignorance. And that's what Gentiles do. But Jesus called us to live differently from the Gentiles. Jesus called the Jews to live different from their traditions. Because this Sermon on the Mount here, you know, these Beatitudes, and then he goes on and starts talking about building their house upon the rock or building their house upon the sand. You know, this is like rocking their world to where they're like, "Man, what is this? You know, this ain't no, you know, thus saith the Lord." You know, not that Jesus couldn't say that. This is like he's sitting back relaxing, and he's teaching them about the kingdom. He's coming to them and revealing the Father. This one guy wrote this book, and I'm sure Yancey, I believe is his name. And he wrote a book, and he said, and it was about the Jesus I never knew. And so many people, you know, they base their knowledge of Jesus based on what they've heard, but have never actually studied to see the real, the true Jesus that's written in the scriptures. And this is what every believer needs to make a point of doing. Because we think, okay, thank you. That's why he's there. I'm like, did they leave the water on? Because now it's getting my attention. Where was I? Book by Yancey. Thank you. Book by Yancey. And so the real Jesus, because people base their knowledge of Jesus on a sermon, and we have this impression that, you know, well, Jesus is just, you know, he's meek, and yes, he is. Humble, yes. Lowly, yes. He says that about himself. But he's also the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and he's also the Judge, okay? And so Jesus, he on the one hand, God loves you, and God wants to save you. On the other hand, it's like many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord," and this is in Matthew chapter 7, "did I not prophesy in your name? Did I not cast out devils in your name? Did I not do many mighty works in your name?" And this same Jesus who says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever will believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life." This same Jesus who says, "No man takes my life, but I lay it down." No greater friend does one have than this, than to lay down his life for a friend. That same Jesus will say, "Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you." That same Jesus that is loving and caring, patient, is also judge. And so the saints of God, this is why, you know, a couple of weeks ago I was sharing with you, this is not an open-ended thing, but it leads to a conclusion, if you will. This same Jesus that people are saying, well, you know, we're in the New Testament now, we're not in the Old Testament. I challenge you to not only read the Old Testament, but then come into the New and go to the last book and see how things end. You'll find out that same judge, because Jesus was back there too, is the judge at the end. And he will judge us for the very same thing that others were doing under the old covenant. They didn't get away with it then. We won't get away with it now. On judgment day, we'll all be called into account. And we're not going before somebody that has selective memory. Or bad memory, if you will. He don't have Alzheimer's. He won't have a problem remembering anything. What he will not remember is our confessed sin. Our sin is moved as far as the east. East is from the west. So far hath he removed it. So he won't remember our confessed sin. But if we live a lifestyle of sin, that's what's going to speak. When he said, listen, you can cast out devils and still be in sin. You can prophesy and still be in sin. You can lay hands on the sick and the sick get healed and still be in sin. There's this lady, and I know it's more than just one. She's a lesbian, and she pastors a church. And so they're seeing healings and things take place in their church. And they think because they got healings in the church that everything is okay. It's okay till Pastor Kelly shows up and starts to take them to another passage of scripture that they kind of like, it's not just myself. But there are others who are speaking the truth in love. But see, just because a person can work miracles, Satan can work miracles. He can work lying wonders, if you will. And Satan is not getting into the kingdom. He's not getting saved. He's not going to spend eternity with God because he can do miracles. He can do lying wonders, if you will. And so it's not those works that God is caught up into. Because we can preach, we can prophesy, we can lay hands, we can even cast out a devil. How can a sinful person cast out a devil? Many have done it. Many have preached the gospel and got many saved. The Apostle Paul said it like this. He says, I buffet my body. I bring it into subjection. He wasn't talking about going into the gym and working out. He wasn't talking about, you know, what is some of that stuff? Zumba? What is, you know, some of the latest stuff. Zumba. Okay, thank you, Brother Enzo. He wasn't talking about that kind of workout. He's talking about, no, I discipline this flesh. I bring it into subjection. I attack the thoughts that venture into areas that it ought not venture into. I come against those things. I bind them and cast them down, if you will. I buffet this body, lest after I have witnessed to others, I myself be disqualified. He operated in that kind of fear. I challenge you to study your word and don't listen to some of these individuals that preach a loose gospel, if you will, another gospel, if you will. Get into the word of God for yourself so you will know and not be deceived or led astray. So we got to Matthew chapter 5, and I'm done. You can stand to your feet. Those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Look at what the Amplified said. Blessed and enviably happy. With happiness produced by the experience of God's favor and especially conditioned by the revelation of his matchless grace. You see, what everything that happens to you is to drive you to Jesus, is to drive you into the very presence of God because he is all that you need. Every time somebody mistreats you, go to God. Every time somebody says something bad about you, go to God. Every time somebody abuses you, go to God. Whatever it is take it to him in prayer. Why? Because he will heal you and make you whole. But for many, they don't want to be made whole. They want to live this anger, live this resentment, live this bitterness out, and it's cancerous. It contaminates us. It prevents us from experiencing the life that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us to experience. He talks about an abundant life, life more abundantly. We get robbed of it when we allow worldly ways, worldly feelings, worldly emotions dominate the very Spirit of God that's on the inside of us. You know, what you need to be doing this whole week is saying, Lord, I in you and you in me. Jesus, I in you and you in me. You need to make yourself more aware, more consciously aware that God is in you. And if God is in you, don't diminish who he is. How do we diminish him, Pastor? When we start to ignore his greatness and magnify the stuff that we go through as people. No, magnify him and watch him shrink all the stuff that's going on in your life to nothing. To nothing, to where you become that great man and that great woman of faith where nothing moves you. You just keep on getting stronger. No matter how much they hit you, no matter how much they come against you, you just keep getting stronger. You don't get bitter, you get better. You get sweeter, you don't get sour. You don't go, you know, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. You walk in peace and harmony. You walk in meekness. You got power under control, bless God. Boy, about a year ago, you really would have went off on me. Yeah, but Jesus is on board. Hallelujah. He's got me. He's got me. He's got me. He's got me. And he will not let me go. Hallelujah. And I will not let him go. Glory to God. Because it's a living reality of this relationship. Well, we talked about the meek. So next week we'll get to the hungry. The ones that are hungry and thirsty after righteousness. This is kingdom living, saints. Hallelujah. We're talking about advancing the kingdom. We got to live it. Hallelujah. In order to advance it. Praise God. Father, I thank you. Stretch forth your hands towards the Lord. I thank you for what was shared tonight. I thank you for every person that is here in our midst that you have ministered to. I thank you for those that are watching that you may have ministered to them as well, Lord God. Touch each and every one. Let not a soul go out of here without having received something from you, Father, in the name of Jesus. So I cover your sons and daughters in the blood of Jesus Christ. I pray that the attributes, the character of a child of God shall be evident in each and every one of our lives. I pray that we continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. I pray, Father God, that your word has free course in our lives first and in the earth realm, that you may be glorified, that the gospel of Jesus Christ may be preached beyond these walls and beyond our comfort zone, that you will bring us out of our comfort zone into the place of faith where we declare the good news of the gospel. Thank you for the souls that came in this week that got saved, Lord God. Thank you for the souls that were saved today. And we look forward to tomorrow that more will come into the saving knowledge of the truth that is in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray the blessing upon each and every one, that the Lord our God bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And above all else, you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. That the gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you will conquer the gates of hell because you are the church of the living God and the pillar and ground of truth. You are the foundation and the mainstay, the prop and the support of the truth. The Lord be with you everywhere you go. And may you have victory each and every day that you live on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. We love you all. Let's see, this is Wednesday. What do we have coming up this week? Oh, Saturday, Pastor Lucia is going to be ministering in San Ramon. And that's for the ladies. You're all welcome to join them. Praise God. I think it might be open for men too, but I'm not sure about that. You can ask your wives. They'll ask Pastor Lucille. She'll let them know because she'll contact Pastor Sonia. But they're going to be going out and, praise God, another. How many of you have been praying the prayer and speaking the confession on a daily basis? Isn't it good? I'm telling you, I'm receiving the benefits and the blessings of it. Give God the glory. He's the one that inspired to do it. Praise God. But thank you if you're daily doing it, and if you're not, get in on it, because it's prophetic, it's powerful, it is word-based, and it accomplishes much in the earth realm. So do it. Do it on a daily basis. 6 minutes out of your day, that's all it takes. If you need a copy, let us know. We'll get that to you in Jesus' mighty name. But God has opened up another door, and Pastor Lucia is going to be ministering over in Oakland next month, I believe it is. So the doors are opening, and that's one of the prayers that are being prayed, that doors will open in our city and around, you know. So praise God. Thank you for your prayers, and thank you for your intercessions. We love you greatly. Sister Shanice, special ops is this Saturday. Special ops this Saturday. Anybody want to go out evangelizing from 9 o'clock p.m. until 12 midnight? Praise God. Those of you who can't go out but you want to come into the house and pray, we'll be here in the tabernacle praying and interceding for them while they're out there, because they need our covering as they're out there in the streets. Amen. So we love you all, and we'll see you Sunday, if not before. Amen.